You are listening to Artbeat on RTR FM 92.1. I'm Beck Bowman. I'm going to be with you until 12 o'clock this afternoon, talking all things arts in WA. It is now 10:24, and we have Janelle Koh on the phone from Singapore. Janelle is coming into WA to talk for the School of Critical Arts, presenting a seminar called Restoring Precedent Indigenous Legal Narratives. She's here to tell us what that involves to now. Janelle, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so well, thank you. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you today and find out more about this workshop and what it means to be kind of restoring these legal narratives that have been told through the years. Can you tell us a little bit about what the narratives are currently when it comes to Indigenous legal matters?
Sure, but just a point of clarification, I'm in Singapore on a holiday, but I'm actually based in Perth and working in Perth. And I think that's quite important to highlight because I think a lot of the course of Restoring Precedent is about place, about acknowledging the place that you come from and the place that you inhabit and occupy, and what that means for future generations going forward. And so this idea of Restoring Precedent is kind of about not just going along with the flow of the stories that have kind of been told over and over again, but to tell a different story, and not just a different story, but one that is that acknowledges country and that acknowledges the land on which, you know, we meet and we work. And so that's kind of what the course is about. It's a new story about precedent, but one that tries to acknowledge in a more full way the implications of colonialism than the Mabo decision, which is kind of the centerpiece for the course, than some of the judgments in the Mabo decision have treated. Yeah.
What I found really interesting when I was reading up a bit about this course and some of the people that you've referenced as sources for this particular seminar was that it's not just about law made about Aboriginal people. It's not just about kind of suing for Indigenous rights or recognition. There's an element of Indigenous law that has been, I guess, overshadowed by this main narrative of law from white people about Aboriginal people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the whole point of thinking through the lens of legal storytelling is to highlight the stories that are being told. One of those stories, the dominant story, you might say, is that told by the common law tradition about itself. In this course, we use the doctrine of precedent to talk through the common law tradition, which says we listen to what was said before, but only by certain people, aka judges who are higher up in the appellate division or whatever. And that really constrains the kinds of stories that you can tell, especially, and that has really damning implications, especially when those stories are being told about Indigenous people or people of minority backgrounds. So that's kind of part of the course, is setting out this dominant narrative. But then the other part of the course is using legal storytelling in a different way to kind of tear it down. So in the course, we'll be talking about John Burroughs, who is an Anishinaabe man, a Canadian Indigenous scholar, and also Richard Delgado, who's a critical legal theorist. And both of them have this love for storytelling. And John Burroughs in particular thinks that storytelling is the way to go in terms of revitalizing Indigenous traditions. So we will be talking kind of in a dual tradition sense of looking at the common law tradition, but then also looking at Indigenous legal traditions, how they stand on their own, the stories that they want to tell about themselves, and also using this critical race lens that Delgado gives us to say, there are many stories out there and many ways to talk about the same subject. And he introduces this kind of radical ethics into the question of which story are we going to pick? And how are we going to allow that to move us forward?
And I guess if you think particularly that, you know, the judges are people who determine what story is told, if the judges are made up of a dominant social group, then that story and those laws are going to be an expression of the goals of that social group.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think about the Mabo decision, which comes from the High Court of Australia, obviously it's not just judges, but it's the judges, like the most important judges in Australia, and who have obviously risen through the ranks of quite a conservative profession to say what it is they want to say. So with that, though, it's quite interesting because the two judgments I picked to look at are by Justice Brennan, who later on went on to become the Chief Justice, and Justice Tui. Justice Tui actually founded the Aboriginal Legal Service in Western Australia in Port Hedland, I believe. And Justice Brennan is a deeply Catholic man. And so those two kind of nuggets about their background show that even on the bench there is diversity in views, and it really influenced the way that they treat the story of the Meriam people and how they feel they're constrained in dealing with Indigenous rights. Like Brennan says, kind of senses that it's a threat, and he says, no, there's, you know, we have to be in line with contemporary human rights, but at the same time, you know, the tide of history has come along and washed away some rights that have come before. And he's more open to extinguishing whatever rights that were there. But Tui's kind of more on the side of preserving whatever rights remain. And he's very interested in the question of survival, in what Indigenous rights survive and how we can preserve those which have continued to survive to this day. So even on the bench, there is, you know, a diversity of views. Influenced by people's backgrounds, and that's, you know, something that legal storytelling is really interested in. Who's telling the story? What do they bring to the table? Yeah.
Oh, I had several kind of moments of revelation when I was reading about this week, when I kind of started thinking about the law as narrative. I guess there is a sense that the law is a law, it's objective, it's not, you know, it's a structure that's in place and it's very kind of neutral.
Yeah.
But when you start to think of it in this narrative sense and in this kind of, especially this idea of collaborative story making where, you know, precedents come together to create a link in a chain that becomes a story, it's just so interesting to me how it can then kind of favour one group of people over the other or favour certain ways of living over others.
Yeah, it really opens up. Like, this is what I love about legal storytelling, is that the lens of storytelling allows us to open up a whole critical perspective that wasn't there before, because the story that the law likes to tell about itself is that it's impartial, it's neutral, it's objective, it treats everyone fairly and everyone the same. But of course, that's not the case. You know, judges are still humans. Judges interpret laws based on what they know and what they feel and their convictions and their values and their own traditions. So that's really important to keep in mind. And that's why, like, that's what this course is about trying to keep open that storytelling perspective, which, from my experience, isn't something that the legal profession does enough, and not something that law school students are taught enough as well.
This workshop that you're talking about is, of course, the Restoring Precedent Indigenous Legal Narratives Workshop. It's been run by the School of Critical Arts, and it's happening on the 4th of June at Fremantle Library. Janelle, thank you so much for both been willing to share this knowledge with people and making the time to talk to me from your holiday today. I genuinely appreciate it.
You're very welcome, babe. Thanks.